Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you back to the social distancing, which is a good thing, very good thing, episode of Black Law and Legal Lies. Social distancing episode. Yes. And the more distancing, the better. But I've been keeping the people updated. I'm depressed. I want to fucking kill myself. And I also want to kill other people. How about yourself?
No, well, you know, I check in every other day to make sure, you know, I actually had a bet running about when you would off yourself. I've lost so far. So
and
there's that.
What was the bet?
I figured like after 3 days in captivity. But then, you know, you informed me this morning that you used the 72 hours in solitary. So I should have upped my timeline to about 2 weeks. But you basically blew by that, too, because from what I understand, this is your second week in captivity. So,
This is my second week. And I can tell you, look, I was locked down for 3.5 years, bro. This ain't nothing. I got amenities. I got weight room. I got weights on the yard.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Lockdown and solitary, two different animals. So,
got the swimming pool. I ain't had that shit. All I had was a toilet with the little sink on top. And
That's what I'm saying. So rich hashtag crazy rich man problems. Like I said,
whatever.
In response, hashtag crazy rich man problems. Because how many of us in our houses with pool houses, pools, and other amenities?
Most of America.
Lies and garbage.
We the bottom one, but we the bottom 99%, bro.
Shit, whatever.
So, getting right into it, right? New Orleans, their reaction to the coronavirus. What's your take on it?
Well, actually, just I have to say before you start cutting my people up.
No, I'm not. I just want to know.
I'm just saying we are flattening the curve. From what I understand, what the governor said today, by what he said today, Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish, we are flattening the curves because we are listening. We get an A+ for listening.
Is that so?
Stone life is true. The governor just said it.
Yeah, I guess if you say it enough, you might start to believe it. But
he said it. He said it.
In my experience.
John Bell Edwards said.
In my experience. What I've seen is I've been going out to jog from time to time and the parks are packed and people are running in packs.
Guess what? You are going out to jog. So you are part of the problem. Because if you are seeing people at the parks,
I am not running at that park though. See?
It does not matter.
It does if I don't get out the car. If I don't get out the car, I'm not part of the problem.
Man, look, you just said I've gone out
to jog, and I've seen numerous people gathering at parks. Like, for instance, one of the parks that you're familiar with that I run at, you used to about 10 years ago.
It was not 10 years, thank you.
It's like going in there, I'm seeing groups of people running together, probably about 4, 5, 6 people, but multiple groups of them. So it got to the point where they closed the gate to the park and you couldn't pull in there to park. So they were parking in the neighborhood, climbing over the levee and still doing this shit. So what I did was I started going to the minor league baseball stadium and running in the parking lot around the stadium because nobody else is dumb enough to do something like that to be socially isolated. So in your estimation, though, in all honesty, do you think New Orleans handled the coronavirus initially well?
Okay. I don't think anybody. Let me start this statement off.
Yeah,
I don't think that anybody in the United States handled the corona response well initially.
I did.
Because nobody took this seriously. Nobody did. The freaking president of these here United States kept calling it a Democratic hoax from the very beginning. And by my estimation, he had information about this coronavirus in early January, right? Actually, December is when China started telling everybody that they had this new virus out there. So in January, it's okay. It's a Democratic hoax. It was all designed to stop me from being reelected. It was all about him. That's what he said initially. So you have people, you know, we tend as Americans, if the federal government says there's nothing to worry about, who's going to worry? So fast forward.
I will.
February, New Orleans had Mardi Gras, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the 25th of February, right? That was Mardi Gras Day, February 25. By early March, it was like, wait a minute, hold up. By middle March, it was like, what? And now it's like, we are one of the hotbeds in this corona fight. So you think about this. Here is New York City. New York City is one of the premier cities for New Year's. Coronavirus was in the United States in December. It was here. So you have all these people in Times Square. New York is another hotbed. New Jersey, California, Washington State. I mean, nobody initially took this thing seriously. And in spite of the fact that our government tells us that we were prepared, we were woefully unprepared. We were deadly unprepared to the point where 7,000 Americans have now died, and we don't know how many more will. So,
hundreds of thousands.
The crazy thing is hundreds of thousands of people die each year.
Niggas get shot every day. B-day, B-I.
See, that's the thing. Hundreds of people die every year. And that is a fact. The flu kills millions.
Flu's been around for decades, though.
Right. And it kills millions. That is fine. But we are prepared for the flu. I mean, the flu is an epidemic. We are prepared for that. We know how to handle that. This thing, this is like the flu on steroids.
Now,
and
here's the thing, right? With this is something that I expressed on A Few Screws Loose, shameless plug, is those first few weeks. And I've said this before, is I was questioning why businesses were still open. And I'm talking about all kinds of businesses, some most of which are not essential businesses. You look at some of these mom and pop little operations. There's a lot of businesses that even after Mayor Cantrell shut the city down, basically, they were still open and functioning. So the governor gets on TV and he's like, yo, Monday. This was like a Friday, I think, or something. But Monday, we're going to start the lockdown.
It was actually a Saturday.
Something like
that. It was a Saturday, and then he made the announcement. He made the announcement that it was coming, and then by Monday
at 5 p.m. everyone.
5 p.m. Right. So that, yeah, it was like Sunday, and then Monday at 5 p.m. is when he started the statewide stay at home.
So with that being said, with so many businesses still, again, non-essential businesses, and here's a couple for you. My neighbor, he's a carpet installer. He's still currently working. He's not essential.
He needs money. Have you read what is an essential and a non-essential business?
I use common sense.
Well, no. See, this is, well, you use common sense, but apparently the government has none, which, surprise, surprise, like, who didn't know that? Here's the thing. When you read the definition of essential and non-essential, home repair is an essential business.
Well, so I can see if you're a plumber and bust.
Home repair and home remodel, that those are home. So changing your carpet, if he's a carpenter, a handyman, he is an essential service business.
So it specifically says home remodel.
It says home repair, because our governor's order is very succinct. It is like two pages. It does not break down everything. It relies on
federal guidelines.
The federal government does, like a COVID-19, something that either the EPA, no, it's not the EPA, FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security and another agency put out to actually list and say what essential businesses are. And under their guidelines, home improvement, home remodel type construction is an essential business. Apparently, that's just like, so chemical plants are essential businesses.
I can see that.
So watch this though. But in the state of Louisiana, what's a major business?
Gas chemical and oil. Plants. Yeah.
Chemical plants. So the majority of the people that work in like the river parishes who have experienced this spike to the point where some parishes are instituting curfews because there's been this major spike. It's because everybody is out and about handling business because in those parishes, that's all they have in those parishes are plants. And most of the people who live in those parishes work at plants. But the government says that they are essential businesses. And they are, because if oil and gas plants shut down, if these other chemical plants shut down, like Dow, if the Dow plant shuts down, you won't have fertilizer and insecticides that farmers need to grow crops, which feed us. So it's like this crazy thing.
Man.
So, but these people are out and about, and even this ban. So this ban, or not a ban, this curfew that they just came out with from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., nobody should be on the street, except if you are going to a job that is an essential business.
So, and you got to have, I've seen lots of people on social media post their freedom papers, basically saying.
You have to have a letter that says that I am an essential service person, da 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 da. But here's the crazy thing. Once again, you are trying to stop this thing in its tracks, right? All of these people are and these chemical plants are interacting with each other. I know personally, most of my family members on my father's side, well, my mother's side too, shit, now I'm thinking about it, they work in these petrochemical plants. I asked them, I said, are y'all practicing social distancing in the plants? And they go, what's that? And I say, what you mean was that? I said, what are they doing to protect y'all in the plant? And they tell me that all they do is check them for fever when they're going in. If they have fever, they turn them around. If they don't, they go in.
See, but that's not necessarily a clear indicator of
being
infected.
Because there are people who are walking around totally asymptomatic, but they are spreading the disease to others. That is my point. Here we are. We're trying to stop this thing in its track. But we are saying everybody off the street, except people who are essential. But these people who are essential are going to places and then they're bringing that home to people who are indoors.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at, as I mentioned, going to look for places to jog. I drove by Sam's Club a few times, and just looking at the parking lot, I'm like,
it's full.
So I go looking for, this was before shit really hit the fan. I went to look for, like, we were good on food. I was looking for laundry detergent. So I'm like driving around. I'm like, where can I just run in, run out? I didn't even care if it was a gas station, to be honest. So I passed Lowe's, the home improvement store, and I'm like, damn, it's only like 5 cars in the parking lot. I know they got something to wash your clothes with. I go in there and buy the $42 Tide that's like this big. But so while I'm standing in line, I'm maintaining social distance. I'm like standing back from the person in front of me, and the people behind me are looking at me like, are you serious?
What are you doing?
Are you really taking this seriously? And I'm like, yeah. So they happen to know the person that was in front of me. So then they start having a conversation back and forth talking about, yeah, they're not going to be able to shut this city down. I'm a contractor and I got jobs. I got money to make. They're not going to be, what they going to do? They going to put us under martial law? They damn need to, because people will not stay out of the streets. They're not following any of the guidelines. They're hoarding shit like toilet paper. Whose idea was that? Who was the first person that said, I need a lot of toilet paper?
Well, you know what? So, once again, social media is a son of a bitch. what social media said, and I saw these things. People were out there saying toilet paper is made in China. They are stopping products from China coming into the United States.
Untrue.
Therefore, we are going to run out of toilet paper. Let's get some now.
Let me tell, I'm gonna tell a little secret, little anecdote. So something that me and P talked about, and I actually, I reached out, I called my grandmother. I wanted to check on her. And my 90-year-old grandmother almost got into a fight over some toilet paper. Mm. And my grandma, I would have whooped that bitch's ass. But
all I know is this. Let me tell you something. My mama tells me all the time about back in the day, growing up, they didn't have toilet paper.
Exactly.
They had freaking Sears catalogs,
man,
that they used to take.
See, and that's the thing. You got for this younger generation, let's say maybe 25 and under, they don't know what growing up poor. Even if they are poor, they don't know what really growing up poor is.
Growing up poor is about.
I've gone without toilet paper. You know what you do? You jump in the shower and you spray your asshole out. If I've gone without soap.
Or, like I said, if you got a paper bag, you take the paper bag, just like you take the Sears catalog paper, you rub it up.
Exactly.
And you chur, until it gets soft, and you do something with that.
You got some old bed sheets, get the scissors out. We cutting that shit up. And I mean, I've gone without soap. I've taken showers with dish soap.
Dish soap.
I've taken showers with, I think I've taken showers with, hair conditioner. That's not even a soap, but it's slippery. So I'm like, fuck it. And I smell good. So,
well, dude, I ain't never went that far. The dish soap, though, I'm with you on the dish soap.
Man, just being
not
poor.
Not the conditioner. I can't.
Look,
I can't.
But when you got to do, I know somebody that's taken a shower in Summer's Eve, and I will not say any names, P from Charlotte. So it's like growing up poor, this is nothing. Cause at the end of the day, I got food. I'm good.
Right. They don't understand. It's crazy because you hear them complain about, man, they ain't got nothing to watch on TV. And I done played this game too many times and this and that. And you know, it just, cause my little cousins are actually saying stuff like that. And I'm stopping and I'm like, go y'all ass outside, get a jump rope. And they looking at me almost like, what's a jump rope? And I'm like, y'all sad. Cause we didn't have video games. We had to get on your bike. If you had a bike, get on your boy's bike behind your boy. You know, y'all riding two or three people.
You can't do that.
Nah, son. Y'all know. Somebody was riding on the front
on the handlebars.
Wheel. Somebody was riding on the back wheel. And the dude was pumping the bike. Standing up.
Nah, you can't do that because that's not social, maintaining social distance. But yeah, I mean, anyway, so
what I'm saying, just go outside. But honestly, now you're seeing that someone was arrested and they're looking for other people because in spite of these orders to socially distance, to not have private groups of more than 10 people.
No one's fucking listening.
Last weekend, somebody on last Saturday, somebody threw a second line. Somebody organized a second line. It was for the repast of this dude that passed away the week before. And it's like, dude is in jail now. The crazy thing about this is, the organizer is in jail. There is also a warrant out for the arrest of the leader of the second line band.
Good.
Who was playing. They have not caught him yet, but the organizer of the second line is in jail.
Good.
But nobody knows when he's going to get out because unlike at other times, the courts are closed.
Good.
Fuck
that dude. And they also, the story was initially they arrested the pastor. The pastor that refused to cancel his service.
They did arrest him.
According to the governor yesterday, they asked the governor about it and they're like, you know, are you worried about the optics of arresting a pastor? And he's like, No, I'm worried about the optics of him having a whole fucking congregation gather on Sunday.
Dead congregation? You want a dead congregation?
Right. And like, looking at that, but he did go on to say that he was fined. He was ticketed and fined.
They cited him, but wait, he actually was arrested because the first time he was cited, he did it again. And got arrested.
Niggas, man.
It's a white boy.
I'm just saying, I'm using the word niggas as we like to say, as a catch-all.
I 100% refuse to allow you to lump this dumbass bastard in with that group.
Technically, nigga is ignorant.
Because, no, he's past ignorant. He is actually making a point. Because right now, he, believe it or not, has retained, y'all remember that dude in Alabama? He was a judge who refused to remove the Ten Commandments from in front of the courthouse. Let me see what this dude's name is.
I thought that was Georgia.
No, it was in Alabama.
But regardless, yeah, they arrested a pastor, I guess, apparently for refusing to cancel his church services, especially today when you have all these like Zooms, these Skypes, most churches are actually having their services online. And I even saw one of the Catholic churches, I think it was Saint Dominique. I think Dominique is the black version. Saint Dominic. He was holding mass outside. And at first you're like, oh, okay, yeah, because you can maintain social distance outside. But then you think about it, it's like you're still encouraging people to gather, whether it be outside or not. So it's like just right, because, stay in the house.
How many of these people are actually going to stand 6 to 10 feet apart? But yeah, he was cited initially. And then he was arrested because he held service the next day. He held service the next day. And now y'all go look it up because I can't remember what the judge's name is. He actually ran for senator in the state of Alabama as well, but dropped out after allegations that
he was a pedophile. He was
messing with some little girls.
Yeah.
Right. So
is that Roy? Roy something or another?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I remember that dude.
Yes. So he has now engaged him. Now, dude is only licensed to practice in Alabama. I don't know what he is engaging him to do, but he has actually engaged this dude, and they're supposed to be having a press conference because he is literally about to take this to court because he is saying that the governor's order is in violation of his constitutional rights. So he taking this one to court. But this is why, like I said, he wanted to get arrested. They cited him the first time and he wanted to get arrested because he has a point to make. But as Oprah said in The Color Purple, you want a dead congregation? Because that's what you're basically doing. Because if you think about the population of most churches, they are elderly.
Yeah. I guess. I'm in favor of martial law, to be honest, and I'm in favor of shutting everything down. And I'll just leave this segment of the show because I do want to get into the stimulus package. But the 70s, I think it was the gas crisis in the 70s, where you can only get gas on certain days of the week based off of the first letter of your last name. Put everything under martial law. And you can go get groceries once a week with a certain group of people. And yeah, people aren't going to like it. People are going to hate the idea. But the only way to completely mitigate this is for everyone to stay away from everyone. As long as we have these essential, like carpet installers, fucking idiot, essential employees out here, the public is still at risk because even the non-essential people still have to interact with the essential people. So we have a couple of mutual friends that are that work in essential, they're essential personnel. And I'm not sure about the stories you've heard, but I've heard some damn stories. Stories from places like the Walmart, where very little, the Amazon's drivers, where very little's done to offer these employees protection. So
you're right. They don't have PPE. And they had a segment on the news today about our bus drivers who are driving every day. People, there's no social distancing on a public service vehicle.
Nope.
And so there are some of these bus drivers who have spoken to news media under conditions of anonymity. You know, of course, they don't want to be outing RTA and lose their jobs, but they are struggling. And they are actually frontline workers too. I consider them frontline workers because they are being told to come into work. And as I said, you have a plethora of people getting on and off the buses. You don't know who has what, you know? So every day they are facing a coronavirus sentence, so to speak, because you're basically playing Russian roulette with the virus.
And with people's lives.
On a daily basis.
So what's your take on martial law? 2 weeks martial law. Everyone would be up in arms, but it would, right now, like you said, we're trying to flatten the curve. That would flatten the fucking curve right there.
Right, but the problem is, here is what the issue would kind of be. If you tried, or if you did, at this point in time, a national lockdown, there would be pandemonium. Really would be.
Yep.
That would be, because no matter what you do, there are people who are going to say, you cannot take away my civil liberties.
Fuck your civil liberty, your civil and your civil's liberties.
And that's exactly what they say. And F you too. You're not going to tell me that I have to stay locked in my home for any. This is America, Jack, and I am free. That's the problem. This is what I said since the very beginning. This is the problem with America. The problem with America is we are so free that we are free to fuck your life up, our own lives up, everybody else's too.
Because like the non-vaxxers?
That is my right as a citizen of the United States. Even though, you know, I heard somebody say something at the very beginning of this, and it stuck with me. Doing this, you are giving up some of your freedoms, true, but this is an act of love. It is. You have to love more than just yourself.
Fuck love. Let's take it a step further. China, there's no love in China. That's a authoritarian government, right?
Right, but did anything.
Wait, no, exactly. It's not love.
Authoritarian.
Right, but
they are authoritarian. China common said, sense. Sit your asses down.
Exactly. Common sense, though, tells you that when you look at how fast they had like the highest number of cases at first, and then they flattened the curve because their authoritarian government said, I wish one of you motherfuckers would come outside. So as an American, you would think that, okay, we might not agree with China's political structure or their president for life and all that, but what they did worked. So the numbers, the statistics, they speak for themselves, but we're sitting here, I could never live in China. I could stay your stupid ass in the house.
But do you know why?
It works.
Think about it. No, and it did work, but let me tell you why. Another reason why that will not happen. This is an election year. And do you want to be the president coming up for re-election? Because, you know, everything that Donald Trump is doing is with an eye towards re-election.
He's going to get re-elected anyway.
This is why. But do you think he would be re-elected if he told the whole nation, keep y'all asses at home? He would not.
I do. Just Sleepy Joe Biden? What's Sleepy Joe Biden going to do? So let's move on here. So two things, two remaining things. One, what have you been doing different? Because judging by your background, it doesn't look like you on self-quarantine.
I don't need to.
You in a school cafeteria?
I don't need to self-quarantine. I'm not ill. I show no sign of illness.
I see an exit sign. That looks like, you look like you're in prison. Gray walls. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you see gray walls. institutional lighting, exit sign, and right here is a filing cabinet. I'm currently at work because
you're working on the Freedom Project.
I am an essential services business.
So what have you been doing different in your life the past couple of weeks?
Man, I've been washing the mother out. My hands are so chapped right now, America. I want somebody to like drop me a line on Twitter to tell me how can I deal with chapped hands.
Oh, because I can tell you.
As soon as I put lotion on, I'm washing it off and hand sanitizing.
Holla at my girl, Tanisha, that makes the body butter.
Oh, that body butter working for you?
Is it? Because, man, that alcohol in that fucking hand sanitizer will eat through any Jergens you put on because it's water-based.
And let me tell you, it is eating through. Like, my hands have aged about 20 years because I cannot keep them moist enough. So what else I've been doing, of course, I've been going out to eat. I've been going out to drink. I've been going out to do anything. I go to work, get in my vehicle. I don't even bring my shoes in the house now. Like anything that I can leave in my car. I know my neighbors think I'm crazy because when I pull into my driveway, they see me doing this. Because anything I can take off in my car and still be decent getting out of my house, getting into my house. You know, if I had like a full garage, I would probably strip naked in my garage and go into the house. So anything that I can take off, anything I can take off before I go into my house, I do, because I don't want to bring it into my home. So I will leave this top layer and my shoes and my backpack and everything else. I leave them all in the car. And when I get in the house, I'm stripping the rest off. I put it in a plastic bag and I go take a shower before I do anything else. And that's something else. I am like oiling myself up because I am taking 2 to 3 showers a day.
Are you fearful
of
the coronavirus, COVID-19?
I'm not for myself. I'm doing all that. I take all those precautions because I don't want to get anybody around me ill.
So you don't mind getting ill with the coronavirus?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not looking for the Rona. You know, I'm not calling out to and going, come here, girl.
You're not licking toilet seats. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not like twisting doorknobs and like licking the palm of my hands. I am not actively trying to call Corona into my life. But if I get it, I do not think that I am going to be one of the people who go into have respiratory, a major respiratory illness, or, you know, that's not going to be me.
I don't know, because little Ricky done move over to your lung and then next thing you know.
I don't want to hear that. But the thing is, the likelihood of me already contracted this thing, I'm going to say, is probably 98% ish. I think that I've already gotten it in over and out. I think that is likely, because there have been 1, 2, 3.
I count 9
people that I am in daily interaction with that had it. So the likelihood of me having already had this thing is very high.
Here's the thing, too, though. You say you don't think you'll be one of the people to go into any sort of respiratory. You don't know. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
17-year-old, 12-year-old. So,
right.
Moving on.
42-year-old. Let me send a shout out right now. Well, not sending a shout out, but there is a healthcare worker today that passed away. She was a nurse.
I know.
48 years old.
46.
Frontline coronavirus.
Funny enough, because of the current working situations, I was privy to that as it happened. But right. I also have a friend at the same hospital. She's about 2 years younger than me. Homegirl's daughter, the law professor.
Mm-hmm.
She is same thing. I believe she's a RN, and she got taken out. So she's out of commission along with multiple colleagues of hers. And then,
oh yeah, I have a lady that attends church with me is actually a nurse at that same hospital. And she expressed to us how they are currently taking care of their own. And it's because she said that they are running as every medical professional has stated, they're running out of PPE. So they are reusing, finding ways to sterilize. And when I tell you, I am thankful and grateful from the bottom of my heart for these people, because in spite of all that, they're not calling in and saying, we're not coming in today. And, you know, I listened to this guy, this emergency room doctor, say, this is what I trained for, and this is the reason I became a doctor. And I have so much respect for that, because some people, even, you know, in spite of that, they would look at this and go, oh, hell no.
Like, I didn't the sign one, up the one die. Lady that quit. Did you see that recently? The nurse that quit? No. She publicly quit on social media. She was a breast cancer survivor who has 3 or 4 children of her own. She was not working on the COVID floor. They asked her to move to the COVID floor. She got on social media and said, yo, they just asked me to move to the COVID floor. I quit because my supervisor knows my medical history, knows I'm a cancer survivor, knows, and I think she had cancer multiple times, knows that mm-hmm. I have 3 kids mm-hmm. at home. Fuck this. Mm-hmm. I'm out. So you have, it's like 50-50, actually. You have a lot of people applauding her, saying, good for you. You stood up for yourself. You felt like, you know, that was a risk you didn't want to take. Good. And then you have white America mostly. Well, that's the job you signed up for. I don't think anybody, just like when you join the military, you don't sign up to have fucking mortars. Like, it happens, but that's not what you signed up for.
Well, I think in this particular case, it's called assumption of the risk. You don't sign up to die, but you know that there's a possibility that you may, if you are called to war. With nurses and doctors, no, you don't sign up to die, but you know that there's a possibility that someone can come into your emergency room, or someone can come into your surgical theater and they have HIV and you could get infected. You know, all of that is assumption of the risk. But what I don't think that you sign up for is not having the necessary tools right. that you need to do your job effectively.
That's what I was going to say. Comparing that to the military, like, they're not going to send you to war and say, well, we ain't got no guns, we ain't got no vest,
we don't have no Kevlar, and we don't have this, and we don't have planes, and right. we don't have tanks, and we don't. You know, you don't go into battle, and that's what this is. That's what I like in this too. This is a war. We are fighting a war against
the invisible scourge, the invisible right. enemy. Man,
fighting this war, he is funny as shit to me, because
he's actually been getting me through this. And like, I'm sitting here, Becky's just like steaming. She's gritting her teeth. I go, why is he on? And I'm laughing because the dude, this is how you know he's going off script. He'll be like, today was one of the worst days, but we're getting the ventilators out to the people. And let me tell you, we're doing a tremendous, as soon as you hear tremendous, he freestyling. We're doing a tremendous job getting these ventilators.
Tens of thousands. We got hundreds of thousands of ventilators and they're coming.
And let me tell you, people, these are some of the best ventilators.
We have the best test. You see the box?
Yo, they had a box, right, of what was supposed to be the instant testing at his press conference mm-hmm. yesterday. It was just a box mm-hmm. over on a table, and a dude kept pointing at it. And let me tell you, this is the test we're going to be using, and it's the fastest test. Nobody tests fast. Didn't open the box. Didn't show us what was in the box. It was just a fucking box. And I'm like, this motherfucker, man. So look, what the people really want to know, stimulus, because this, I'm actually probably going to move this to the top of the show, but there's a lot of misinformation going around about the stimulus. Mm. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I was even misinformed. And some of the things, I guess, let's start with this. These are some of the key points that I walked away with.
I can tell you right now. Let me get anything that you know about this stimulus.
Well, this isn't something that I know. This is something. Well, it's not about the stimulus directly. What I'm going to say is I was told that the IRS is not following Congress's bill, because Congress said everybody getting this money, and the IRS is saying not if you didn't file a simple tax return.
Correct.
So how is the IRS able to go against Congress?
And it's not that they can. So this is how the bill reads. The way that the bill reads and was set to work was people who are on Social Security and do not have a need to file a tax return. They're not required to file a tax return. What the bill was designed to do for those people, or what the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and his the way the bill is written, what they were supposed to do was take the information that they already receive about these people and just send them their $1,200.
Right. That's what would have made sense.
Right. That's what people like ARP and others lobby for. Keep in mind that initially these people were only supposed to get $600 because, you know, how they the thought was, how are they really affected? They weren't working anyway. This is supposed to be for people who are working, who need, you know, a little bump. But ARP and other senior groups, they lobbied, got them this money, $1,200. Was supposed to just send it to them. Well, the IRS is like, that's gonna be too much work. And this is just me speculating, because we are going to have to get this information, enter this information into our system, or make sure this information is in our system in a certain way, and then send them this money. The IRS said, hell, we don't want to do all that. We want somebody else to do the work for us. So we're going to say that everybody needs to do, even if you're not required to, you're going to need to do a simple tax return. They are literally just, everybody in relation to this stimulus package and this money, they are flying by the seat of their pants on this. Information is shifting every day. Like, one day, this is what's going to happen. The next day, this is going to happen. The next day, this is going to happen. Anything you've heard about the stimulus, except the amount of money that you're going to get, I would disregard until the final thing comes out. Because as it stands right now, the IRS has this link on their website for coronavirus relief. And what's supposed to happen on that website, via that link, you are supposed to be able to press that link and then go to somewhere where you can, if you didn't have direct deposit on your tax return, you're supposed to be able to enter your direct deposit information. Well, that has not materialized. Of course not. Also, they are supposed to update and give you information as to how you can file a simple tax return. That has not materialized. Everybody, the tax preparation industry, the banking industry, everybody sitting and waiting for the next shoe to drop or the next nugget of information to drop that the IRS is going to turn around and crawfish on. Because they put this out there, and I can almost guarantee you that this is never going to happen. They're going to pull this back. And I said as much when it came out yesterday. I said that there is no way that they are going to require this, because that would be a logistical nightmare for about 20 million Americans who are on Social Security, who are basically disabled or up in age. These are the people that you are telling to stay in your house, but now you're going to require them to file a tax return, which requires them to
let me jump in here.
Out the house.
No, not necessarily, but I can say that a lot of our elderly people, they're not technology savvy. Right. So would take, I guess, the average person 10 minutes to say, okay, let me log on to this website and do this, 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 and this. they probably can't even figure out how to email their information to somebody who does know how to do it.
They probably don't have a computer to do that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. So with now what I want to do is I want to do some quick hot takes here for the social media clips. $1,200 a person, correct? Under 75,000.
$1,200 per person if you make $75,000 or less.
And
there
more?
Is a minimum. There is a minimum. Like, according to them, you have to make at least you have to have at least $2,500 worth of income. But at $2,500, if that's all you have, there is still some what's the word I want to use? There is still some debate as to whether or not you're going to get $1,200 or $600. And I'm not talking about for elderly people. I'm talking about for other people who made less than a certain amount of money.
Children.
But okay, so up to $7,500 is supposed to be you get $1,200. As you make more, for every $100 over $75,000, you lose $5 of the $1,200.
Okay.
Okay. Until you hit, and this is for a single person, until you hit $99,000.
Okay.
After $99,000, you get.
And we lost. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having technical difficulties. Again, this is a product of recording remotely. Let's see if we can get Ann back on the line.
Man, I don't know what happened just now. Technology is a son of a gun. Anyway, okay, so
ladies and gentlemen, we had a little technical difficulty here because my co-host has raggedy technology. But
man, shut up.
Okay, anyway. So what you were saying is above 75,000.
So 75,000 for every $100 that you make over $75,000, you lose $5 of that stimulus money.
And it phases when you out hit at 99.
99, you get absolute zero. That's for a single person. It is doubled for a couple. So if you filed a married filing joint tax return, you and your spouse can make a combined $150,000 and still get $2,400.
Now, funny you say that. So I'm just going to say it's going to phase out at 198, which would be 99 right? plus 99. So dependents, this is something that everybody's excited about. And I mean, there's not much these days to be excited about, but they're like, yo, I got three dependents. I got my 12-year-old son. I got my 17-year-old son who's getting ready to graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my college-age daughter who's 22 years old, and she's my dependent as well. So they're like, okay, I'm going to get my $1,200, and then I'm going to get $500 per dependent, correct?
Yep, wrong. So this is how they screwed y'all. And in this particular sense, I am saying that they are screwing people because what they did was kind of fucked up. So this is what they did. What this stimulus is, in order to pass it, to get it through, this is basically what Congress did Congress, because both sides of the houses passed it. What they did was make a revision to the Internal Revenue Code. This stimulus money is actually a credit.
A tax
right?
credit.
It is a tax credit, which is why the IRS is now administering it. So it is a tax credit. Having said that, when they said that you are going to get $500 per dependent, it is actually $500 per dependent child. And the definition, they are using the definition of child as it is in the Internal Revenue Code. And as far as the definition of child, it is someone who is 16 or younger.
And so let me throw this in here. If you look at a typical tax return, you have something was called the additional child tax credit. And that's something.
Child tax credit.
Yeah, child tax credit. That's something that you don't get for anybody that is older than 16 on December 31st of that tax year.
Correct. So definition of the child is 16 and under. So you are going to get $500 for each dependent child on your tax return that is 16 or younger. That 17-year-old, in spite of the fact that they are still in high school and you are still taking care of them, according to the IRS and according to the law, they don't get $500. Your dependent child, your dependent daughter who is college age, they get none. Your mother that you have as a dependent on your tax return gets none of that $500, and you screwed her.
Oh, but that's okay though, because look, my dependent daughter that's in college, 22 years old, she has a job on campus, so she is a working adult, so she qualifies for the $1,200, correct?
Absolutely not. Because if you are dependent on somebody else's tax return, you're not eligible for the stimulus.
So,
and as I said, so your mother, who is on Social Security, who would otherwise have gotten this $1,200, but you carried her as a, you claimed her as a dependent on your tax return, will not get this money according to the way the law is written.
So just to summarize then, 16 and under, your dependents would qualify you for an additional $500. Granted, you make, now does that change with your income, that portion of it?
No, it does not.
So $98,000 and I'm still getting $500. Okay. Now,
You're still getting an extra $500, right?
With that being said, there's some debate on whether or not we're going to have to pay this back. Now, if you look back at the stimulus of, what was that, 2000, when Bush gave us our money? And I think I remember people saying we had to pay that back. I honestly don't remember. I was like 18.
But nobody paid anything back.
So did we ever have to pay stimulus money back?
Yep. The only thing that the government ever made people pay back was that first time home buyers credit that they gave everybody, that $7,500, the first one, the 2008 version. If you got $7,500, you had to pay $500 over 15 years.
Right.
If you received the 2009 version of $8,000, you didn't have to pay that back.
Gotcha. So with that being said, I guess what we've established so far is that, one, you have to be a working adult. You have to make at least $2,500, and that may qualify you for $600 or $1,200. Still unclear on that. Now, if you make up to $75,000, you'll get a $1,200 check. And if you're married, double that, you'll get $2,400 up to $150. Then you lose $5 per $100 you make over that. Now, I guess two of my questions would be, this is something that I'm not sure. Let's say I qualify for it, right? Let's say last year I made $74,999, right? Are they going to automatically send it to me? And then what I want to say is, the following year, let's say I made $103,000 in the year 2021. Would that have any relation?
So just a little tip. If in 2018 you file a tax return and you made $74,999, and in 2019 you made $150,000 and you're a single person, do not file your 2019 tax return.
Okay.
Because if you do not, they are going to base this on your latest filed tax return. So if you have not filed a 2019 tax return yet, they're basing what you get on your 2018 tax return. So if you know that you made less money in 2018 than 2019, don't file your 2000. You have until July the 15th to file a 2019 tax return. Do not file that 2019 tax return until you get the stimulus money.
And then file an extension in July if you're still receiving monthly stimuli, as we like to say. The stimuli, people.
Because if you file an extension in July 15th, and you would have until 6 months after that to file a tax return. So continue holding off till you see which way the wind is blowing. Having said that, there is language in this bill that passed that would have you repay this money if you received too much of it. But the bright side of that is the bill does not mention a mechanism wherein they will collect.
How do you get paid too much of it?
Okay, so what we just mentioned. So say you filed your 2019 tax return. All right. They're going to base how much you get on your 2019 tax return. So say in 2019, you made $50,000. All right. And then you got a new job in 2020. Okay. Mm-hmm. And your new job, you're a single person, new job, you made $103,000.
That's $105,000. That's 103% increase in your salary.
Right.
Because fuck that stimulus money. Give me that 50K.
Say in 2019, you were in law school working a side job. And in 2020, you passed the bar, you know, you passed the bar and now you're a lawyer and you're starting out junior attorney, $105,000. And that's what you made in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this coronavirus health emergency began February 15th, 2020. That's the date that the world or the United States was affected by this. All right. So when you file your 2020 tax return in 2021, the law says, that bill says that there should be a correction because what you're receiving this money for is because you lost your job and you lost money because of Corona. But your tax returns tell a different story. Instead of losing money, you actually gained $55,000. So like I said, the law, the way the law is written, they would basically take, so say you got the $12,000. The $1,200. You were not supposed to get anything based on your 2020 tax return. They should have you repay that $1,200. That's what the law says. Now, as I said, there's not really written in the law, not anything that I've seen that provides a mechanism for that. So I don't know. But then the law also says that in 2018 and 2019, you made too much money to get this stimulus. And when you file a 2020 tax return, you then made less money. So let's say in 2018, you made $80,000. In 2019, you made $100,000. In 2020, you made $55,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way the law reads, you should be eligible for that $1,200 and the IRS should send it to you.
So,
this final thought. But from what I understand, also in the bill, these stimulus payments expire December the 21st, 2020. So once again, I don't know how that's going to play out.
Now, here's, I guess that just gave me two more questions. Let's say you owe child support or you have an outstanding debt with a government agency. Yep. What happens?
According to the bill and the IRS, they are not going to offset. Even if you owe, and that's a question that I had. If you say in 2019, you file your 2019 tax return, you've made less than the $7,500. $75,000. You made less than the $99,000, but you owe taxes. You're not getting a refund. You owe. Well, lo and behold, in any other situation, anything that you're due, the IRS would take that money. Well, according to the IRS, they are not going to offset the stimulus money for anything. I mean, no student loans, no FEMA, no child support, anything that you owe the IRS, they are not going to offset that $1,200 for.
So that,
or anything you owe another government agency or whatever.
So the disbursement method, is it going to be paper check, direct deposit? What are we looking at there?
All of the above. So what the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says is that if the IRS has your direct deposit information, this is the quickest way for them to deliver this money to you. That's how they're going to send it. Well,
what if you went to an H&R Block?
Exactly right. Or Jackson Hewitt or some other
Liberty Tax. Okay.
Some other tax firm. Well, they are still going to send it via direct deposit because that is the way that tax companies actually receive your refunds, via direct deposits from the IRS.
Right.
Right. They're going to send it to the exact same bank account number that is in their system. And once again, that is going to be a logistical nightmare for all of these banks, because then they are the ones that are now going to have the onus of getting you your money. They have the responsibility now of getting you your money. So picture if you gave your tax preparer bank account information for you, that, because normally what happens is when you go into a tax prep company, they work with a bank, and that bank sets up bank accounts for each individual taxpayer. And when you tell your tax preparer that you want your money to be direct deposited into your bank account, what happens is the IRS sends it to that bank, and that bank sends it to your bank. Well, as we know, sorry to say, most people change bank accounts and addresses like they change underwear. And that's real.
That's not so, most people.
That is most people.
I haven't changed an address in 10 years.
Most people who file tax returns with tax preparation company, gotcha. they are low income.
Yeah. Underbanked. Underserved. Yeah.
So think about that. It's either going on a bank on one of these Netspend cards that they no longer have access to, or a bank account that they've closed or has been closed for them because it's overdrawn, or I just closed the bank account and my address changed and my phone number changed a week after I walked out of the tax place. So as I said, logistical nightmare, because now these banks have to get you your money and they send out, say they mail them all. How many of you think is going to come back to them as undeliverable?
Gotcha. So would it make sense for the banks to send it to the paid tax preparers?
Also a logistical nightmare, because now the tax preparers have the responsibility of getting these checks to you. And well, so
it might be a good thing, though, because say some of the customers owe their tax preparers because they were unfunded or something.
You cannot take that money out of there.
Fuck if you can't. I'll be like, shit, nigga, you want your check? You want your check? You owe me $250, dog. Nah.
Cannot take the money out of that. So like I said,
so there's no incentive to even for the H&R blocks or whatever to even want to do it. Okay.
Right. There's no incentive, because now what you have, especially this is in this atmosphere of coronavirus, you are going to have 10,000 people coming through your offices to pick up these checks.
Hmm.
Think about that.
Interesting. So, anything else you want to add? Here's one. The small business. Okay. So self-employed, small businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So I saw there was $350 billion earmarked towards.
Oh yeah. Go get it.
Starting April 3rd, you can apply for it. Now it's in the form of an SBA loan.
Right. There are two different loans going on, though. There are two different loans that the federal government.
The
Paycheck Protection Program is one. And that one, that's actually the more attractive. And then there is one for kind of sort of like business continuity. Okay. So the payroll protection one, you can get money to continue to put. What they're trying to do is keep people working. So if your business has been affected and you want to keep the employees that you have, you can go and apply for a loan two and a half times your monthly payroll for a certain period of time.
Okay. And so, that being a loan, when you hear loan, I know when I hear loan, I'm like, nope, fuck that. That's a loan. Nope. I ain't borrowing shit.
Let me tell you, go get it, because this is what's happening with these loans. The interest. Let me tell you what the interest on these loans are.
Zero.
The interest on the almost zero. The interest on these loans are the interest is, forgive me for my lack of proper grammar, 0.5%.
Okay, so you can do a lot with that money.
Percent. Exactly right. It's 0.5%. On top of that, 25%. Of the loan is going to be forgiven. You have 2 years to pay this back.
25%?
25% of the loan is going to be forgiven.
See, and the way they're kicking this shit on the news is, okay, so again, it's like you get information from so many different sources, and it not all of it lines up with what you just heard. So first I heard SBA loans. Then I heard SBA loans that if you stay in business until September 30th, I think the date was, you don't close your doors and you continue to pay your employees, you don't lay your employees off, the loan would be forgiven. So no one ever said 25%. So the other 75%.
It's a certain portion of the loan. They're not forgiving the whole thing. See, they are forgiving.
They don't
make
that
clear. A portion, right. They are forgiving a portion of the loan. But you have to, within, I believe it's 6 months, within 6 months after the date of the loan. But this is, they're doing something that is pretty much freaking unprecedented. When I tell you nobody's really making money, the banks, it is an SBA loan, but it is being administered by a bunch of federally insured banks. So Chase, Whitney, some federal credit unions, a bunch of these banks are actually administering these things. They can't charge you a penny for administration or origination. They cannot charge anything to you. All of that shit is being waived. Like, if you need money right now, and you're, even if you are a sole proprietor and you got your shit straight, because you remember we at Black Law told y'all a long time ago, get your shit straight, be legit, get an EIN number, start tracking some shit, do some shit right. If you have followed our advice, if you have followed our advice and you have done that shit, right now it's free money season as a sole proprietor.
You know, I don't think we're going to be able to pay our Black Law employees
I'm saying,
this month.
Dude, self-employed individuals, it is hard to get a loan as a self-employed individual. This shit is so free, it is scary.
And
but I'm telling
what's the likeliness of them, though, forgiving the loan in its entirety? Very little.
Honestly, it's highly likely, depending on the amount of loan that you receive and what you use that money for. Now, here's the thing, though. If you are going to do this, do it now, because these rules, believe me, are going to change. The interest rate is going to change as of Friday this week, which would be
the third.
That is when it is open season on this thing. They are going to start accepting applications online. You will be able to go online, fill out this application, and upload this shit. Literally, like I said, you want to be one of the first. It's a lot of money, but it's not unlimited. And think about, every company across the country is vying for these loans. You want to be in this first batch, because trust me, the rules are going to change. Just like with that freaking first-time home buyers, everybody jumped in.
It changed the following year.
And the rules changed.
Now, speaking of rule changes, let me say this before I forget. The mortgage forbearance, right? A lot of people today, we're recording on April 1st, a lot of people weren't able to pay their rent, to pay their mortgages. One of the things is, no, your mortgage company is not automatically going to,
they will not,
yeah,
you have to
accept
call
you not paying them. So you do have to call, get your mortgage in forbearance now.
But
right
that
now
might
what
not be a good thing
right now. What they're doing is they're playing on the honor system. They're taking your word for it. They're saying, you've either lost your job, you have a financial hardship, we can delay your mortgage. However, that is also going to change soon, because right now I've been watching the stock market like a fucking hawk the past, month?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer. But as soon as the coronavirus is announced, I'm like, because it really spoke to me. And I hate to say this because it's at the expense of other people, but Ann one day looked me in my face and said, there's no way you can make $6 million without this situation I'm talking about. Watch me. So I'm looking at, back in 2008, the financial crisis, 2008, he actually bought shares of Citi, and he bought Fannie and Freddie and Ford and GM and all these companies for pennies that everyone was going like, oh, it's going out of business. It's going out of business. $100 got you like 1,000 shares of Citi. That their stock is trading like $60, $70 now. So watch me make my $6 million. But no, I say that to say that I listened to the heads of Fannie today, and they were talking about how the mortgage forbearances is actually it's good for the people, but it's not, because it's hurting the banking industry. It's hurting the mortgage industry. And right now, you don't have to submit any proof to say I'm financially right. So right. What they're working on now, the National Mortgage, whatever association, is they're going to make you start showing us documentation that you're not working, that you've been impacted by the coronavirus in one way, shape, or correct. Form. So correct. I say that to say, if you want to put your mortgage in forbearance, now's the time to do that also, because the rules for that are going to change very shortly.
Right. But you know, that whole mortgage forbearance thing is not always a good thing. And let me tell you, because I understand a lot of people need, or a good portion of people need to do that. But when you forbear your mortgage, all that money actually gets compounded. So in the end, though, and also when they send you those papers for that forbearance, please, 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 please. And I know it's a lot of paper, and I know a lot of people don't like to read, but read them to make sure. Let me tell you what I know some mortgage companies are going to do. Because they have done it before. They will forbear your mortgage for maybe 3 months. But at the end of that forbearance, they will expect a balloon payment. Please read through those papers to make sure that it does not say a balloon payment. If it does, call your mortgage company and try to negotiate that out.
Speaking of negotiation, too, this is coming from the financially literate side of me in something that I kind of know about. Now, rather than foregoing your mortgage, paying your mortgage altogether, one thing you can try to negotiate is paying interest only. And that would cut your payment significantly. Well, it depends on your principal, but it would cut your payment. So that's something to look at, is paying interest only. That'll save you some money too, rather than letting it all pile up and then having to pay it back at once. Mm-hmm. So I guess with that being said, $6 million coming soon.
$6 million
coming soon.
You ain't gonna cut your girl in on nothing.
Man, I give you $5 just, and I'm gonna throw it at you like a peasant, like, psh, and then, ladies and gentlemen, I just also want to say that having Zoom and Skype on your phone at the same time is some nasty shit. Because that is the strippers working from home starter kit, and then you throw in some.
Who said that?
Then you throw in some IG and some man.
Who came up with that?
I did.
You came up with that dumb shit. Exactly.
If you have Skype and Zoom, you a stripper working from home, or escort.
Because you got Skype and Zoom on your phone.
I don't. I have neither. That's why we're doing FaceTime right now.
Whatever. No, you have them. You just couldn't get them to work. You told me so.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in this week. And we'll be back again at some point.
My video is delayed.
Seriously, I'm gonna send you whatchamacallit's info too for the body butter, son.
For real. So for real. I need that. My hands are like stupid chapped, boy. I'm telling you, they hurt. They so chapped.
So yeah, doing that anyway. Follow us social media. I am Dan on Drugs.
And you can follow me on Twitter at ITellLegalize.
And keep up with the show on all social at Black Law Podcast. And again, we will be back at some point, because with the uncertainty of what we're looking at, I mean, we're doing remote social distancing episodes when
it's
we
crazy.
Can.
You know, we're doing these things, man, like people on Facebook having these quarantine parties. You know, mixing. We are having quarantine shows.
Man, shout to DJ Ace, too, with the chicken, 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 chicken.
Yeah.
Cash DJ money, Ace. 99 to the 2G. Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah, he does that every Thursday. He does, like, Throwback Thursdays, and then he be going live on the quarantine. Yeah, man, follow my boy DJ Ace on Facebook. He be getting them quarantine parties going, man. Oh, peace? Really?